You know, I knew losing that last game, I had something that, you know, I wanted to achieve coming back my senior year. And so, you know, the goals that we have of winning a national championship, winning a Pac-12 title, and just everything that kind of comes along with it is something that I want to achieve and our team wants to achieve.
Sabrina Ionescu could have joined the WNBA last year, but instead, she returned for her senior season at Oregon with one goal in mind: to win a national championship. Today, how a girl who grew up hustling older kids on the court for Slurpee money became the NCAA's all-time leader in triple-doubles, and whether she can win it all come March. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, February 19th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Hi, Liz.
Mina, how are you?
Liz Merrill is a senior writer for ESPN and spent time with Sabrina Ionescu and her family last year for an in-depth profile. Liz, Sabrina Ionescu gets called generational talent. Now, sometimes it feels like every top prospect every year gets called a generational talent, but with her, it does not seem like hyperbole.
No, it's not. She's the real deal. She is sort of the Serena Williams of women's basketball. She can shoot the ball.
Ionescu, three, out top. Good! The net barely moved.
She can dish out passes with relative ease. It looks like she's not even trying.
Nice back cut by Erin Boley, who's into double figures, and a great pass by Ionescu.
The zip on her passes, they get there so quickly.
And then she can crash the boards.
Ionescu the rebound. She's open for three and she'll take it.
And you look down at the stat sheet and all of a sudden, wow, this kid has 30 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. And you didn't notice because she makes it look so effortless. People are taking notice. Celebrities are taking notice. Celebrities have come just to watch her and the Oregon women play, which you would have never really heard of that 10 or 15 years ago, like male professional athletes taking the time to meet her or give her a shout out. I mean, this is an example of game recognizing game.
Well, what have some of those other athletes said about her?
Well, Steph Curry has called her a legend. LeBron has called her queen and said that she's so dope. Kobe had actually, you know, gone to meet her. Him and his daughter had seen her play. And what evolved there was a friendship. You didn't necessarily see that crossover before, you know, and when you did in times past, you're like, wow, if you ever saw like a male athlete, especially the best of the best, when you're talking about LeBron and Steph and Kobe, I mean, these are guys who have actually seen her play and have taken the time to either go on Twitter or whatever venue and to praise her play. That's a pretty big deal. You know, even Gino Auriemma said,
she's smart. She waits for you to make a mistake. A lot of guards, they go so fast that they don't give you a chance to make a mistake. She goes at a pace where she waits and waits and waits. And when you screw up, she takes advantage of it.
And that's saying a lot from him, who has seen so many great players. I mean, every time you think of a great women's basketball player, we're almost always talking about somebody who went to UConn, be it Taurasi or Breanna Stewart or Sue Bird or Maya Moore. We're almost always talking about someone who's come from that program. Now we're talking about somebody who plays for Oregon, and it's not like Oregon is in the middle of nowhere, but it's not an easy place to watch basketball because they're on the West Coast. You're not going to, if they are on TV, a lot of times they're late. But yet, more and more people are getting to know about her star power. And the fact that you've got all of these guys who are at the best of the best, you've got LeBron calling her queen. I mean, that's being displayed to all of his millions of followers. Some of the praise that she's received, you don't see that. You haven't seen that in the past from other women's basketball players.
Kobe
not only praised her, he actually broke down her game for us.
You want to look at Sabrina and say, okay, she's great handling the ball. Of course she is. She's great on screen roles. Of course she is. But what makes her really dangerous is that she can catch and shoot too, right? So she can move off the ball. She's just as dangerous doing this, right? Off of catch and shoot.
She was asked about him after his death and had this to say.
I mean, everything I do it for him, obviously. Really close friend, and this season's for him.
What was their relationship like?
So she met him. He attended one of her games. And over the past year or so, they became pretty close. She admired his game deeply and vice versa. He, you know, obviously Kobe with a daughter who's really into basketball, that was sort of a bond. She was really emotional after learning of his death. She dedicated that next game to him and, you know, kind of broke down just talking about him.
Before we get to this season and what Sabrina's accomplishing, I want to talk to you about how this all began, how her story starts. You did a big profile of Sabrina last year. You spent time with her and her family. What was she like as a kid?
Well, so she had a really unique background. Her family's from Romania. She didn't grow up there, but in 1989, there was a revolution in Romania, and her father, Dan, wanted to leave the country seeking political asylum. And so he left for Northern California, leaving his wife and their two-year-old son, Andre, behind. He went there sort of for the American dream, to kind of provide for the family, told his wife, hey, hopefully I can send for you in 6 months. Got a cab job and was trying to make some money. Now, that 6 months turned into 5 years. 5 years pass. By this time, he has turned that cab job into his own limousine company, and he can send for the family. So that's in 1995. 2 years later, a pair of twins were born, a boy and a girl. And Sabrina came first, of course, because she would end up being sort of the bossy sibling of the family. And then Eddie came, I think, 18 minutes later. That really forged her path, having a twin brother who played basketball. And the reason they started playing basketball was because both parents worked. And maybe it was a simpler time, but her dad would drop them off at a park down the street in Walnut Creek. And she just started playing. Her and Eddie would play with other kids.
We were like a Clay Curry combo.
Yeah, exactly. She was the one bringing the ball.
Who was I?
Curry.
Okay, good. Say louder.
You know, you say who I was first.
Clay.
There you go. You're Curry. There you go.
She'd get knocked around a lot, and she'd do some knocking herself. And her skills really evolved from that street basketball into what we see now, which is one of women's basketball's elite. I mean, they got so good that they would start hustling older kids or even adults for, like, money that they would use to buy Slurpees. And, you know, they speak Romanian, and so they could actually kind of have their own code when they're playing. Or even if they wanted to make fun of the players that they were playing against, they'd talk to each other in Romanian. You know, you hate to use the word tomboy, but she was. You know, her mom told me when Sabrina was in junior high, a counselor called and said, hey, you know, we're really concerned about her going to high school because she doesn't really communicate with any females. All of her friends are boys. And her mom's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, I'll get right on that. And did nothing because she knew that she was developing this young woman who was strong, who had her own voice and did what she wanted to and was really good at it.
So her size helped them in that hustle. Did it lead to her being underestimated when she got to, you know, junior high and then high school?
She was, by the time she, you know, was leaving high school, like, and being recruited, obviously she was heavily sought after, but she wasn't the first person you would look for on the court. She wasn't necessarily anything spectacular. by any means. But once you saw her play and what she could do, a lot of her stuff is like, you know, the old-fashioned elbow grease stuff where, you know, the reason she has all those rebounds is because when she played with boys, she never got the ball. And so the only way she was getting the ball is if she somehow muscled her way in there. The family is not a basketball family. They didn't even know anything about basketball before they came here. And even in those first years, it wasn't something that they really knew a lot about coming from Romania. Pretty much everything she has gotten has sort of been off of this whole work ethic.
Coming up, how Sabrina Ionescu is transforming women's basketball. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN Daily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN Daily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN Daily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN Daily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Liz, how has Sabrina changed Oregon basketball?
Well, to give you an example just of interest in the program, when she came, you know, it was kind of a leap for her to come because there was kind of some jokes about how, you know, why would you come here? You know, that there's very little interest. And they averaged 1,500 fans a game the season before she came. This year, her senior season, they're averaging 10,000. I went to a game last year, and if you walked into that arena, you would think it was a men's game almost. There are fans that are super invested. They are really into it. The crowd is very loud and animated, and it is just like going to see an NCAA men's game. And she's had a huge, I mean, she's their superstar. She's one of the biggest superstars on campus. They are coming because they're good and because they want to watch Sabrina.
So she could have declared for the WNBA draft last year, you know, after her junior season. Why didn't she?
She wanted to come back and try to win a national championship. I feel like she still feels like she has some things she has to do. Her brother is at Oregon, her twin brother. They live together.
I just knew there's no way that I can call him or my team and tell him that I'm going to be leaving. It just didn't feel right. And so at that moment, I just knew that it's meant for me to stay for my last year.
I know it's important for her to enjoy the college experience. She's really close to her team. This is her chance. This is like their chance to win it all. So I think there was a huge desire to come back, to win a national title. She's going to be the number one pick last year. She'll be the number one pick this year. It's not going anywhere. The other thing is, it's not like when you go and declare for the NBA and you're going to make generational wealth. You know, she's looking, sure, she's probably looking at endorsements and stuff, but, you know, she's not going to make a fraction of what somebody who declares early would on the men's side.
So she said she came back to school because she had unfinished business and she wanted to win a national championship. Liz, right now, Oregon is ranked 3rd behind South Carolina and Baylor. They just had a huge win on the road against UConn.
Ionescu for Heber, the catch, the score, assist number 9 for Ionescu. And the white flag being waved for the first time in a long time at Gamble Pavilion. They answered the test. The first top five road win in Oregon Ducks history.
What are their chances like going into March?
That win over UConn was a statement. And when you can go somewhere and not only win on their floor, but win handily like they did, that's a pretty big deal. I think that everybody's going to be looking for them, you know, as one of the favorites once the NCAA tournament starts. And there's going to be a lot of pressure. And, you know, one thing about Sabrina, she puts a lot of pressure on herself. I think if you ask Kelly Graves, Oregon's coach, he would say that's always been one of her biggest detriments, is that she just heaps too much pressure on herself. She wants so much, and she tries too hard in some ways. She gets on her teammates in the past, that was like one thing that we talked about last year, is that, you know, she could really get on her teammates for like some of the smallest things because she wants perfection. So she's worked on that. And the pressure will be on, and it'll be interesting to see how this veteran team led by her handles that pressure.
On the men's side in the tournament this year, there's no Zion Williamson, right? There's no dominant name, no nationally. A lot of the top prospects like James Wiseman or LaMelo Ball won't even be playing. How big of a moment could this be for Sabrina and for the women's game more broadly?
You're totally right. You would think that ESPN carrying the women's tournament, that this is kind of like a jackpot this year because people, you know, and I think her name is out there. You know, I think people know who she is. And if they don't, they're going to be knowing more and more about her. I will be interested to see if people like just sort of sit down to watch her. If you get to watch like 5 minutes of her play, you know, I think that that's something that could captivate a lot of fans for sure.
Thanks so much, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Mina.
Coming up, an esports star becomes an esports owner and what it means for the world of sports. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast. Here's another story I want you to know. 5 years ago, I went to South Korea to write a story for ESPN the magazine about esports, which was new territory for us back then. I was given a mandate to choose any subject, and after some reporting, I settled on a player who I was told was the LeBron James of the multiplayer game League of Legends. A 19-year-old kid named Lee Seung-hyuk, better known by his gamer ID, Faker. I spent a great deal of time with Faker and his team, T1, as they tried to stay dominant and keep Korea on top of the esports world. I also learned about his humble beginnings and reported on the question of whether Faker, an extremely shy and soft-spoken kid, would ever leave his country or his team as his star ascended. Well, today, ESPN has an entire esports vertical, and on Monday, one of our reporters, Tyler Ertzberger, reported that Faker, who's now a three-time League of Legends world champion, signed a new deal with his team, which is not only a max contract, but also makes him a part owner in T1 Entertainment and Sports. And when he retires, he'll move into a leadership role with the company. I find this fascinating, not only because on a personal level, it's been remarkable to watch Faker's journey from afar and how much esports have evolved, but also to consider the possibility for other sports. In most major salary-capped leagues, giving active players an equity stake in a team isn't currently permissible. Perhaps that could change one day. And perhaps it's also something that athletes in other emerging sports should consider. For now, it's a groundbreaking moment for esports and for a game and an athlete who have come a long way in a very short time. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.